Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you, as always, so much for tuning in, coming in hot with a lot of coffee. And of course, as we like to do at the top, a big thanks to our super producer, the madman of Michigan, Mr. Max Williams. They called me Ben. Noel, this is a part two. We wanted to make this a one-parter, but we just couldn't help ourselves, man.
No, we just love the pictures too much. We had to wax philosophical and poetic and nostalgic, all those things about them for quite some time.
I have a question though, guys. What happens if something happens to this part? So people are always going to be sitting around, like they're going to hear the end of part one.
I feel like you're intentionally going to cut this.
What? Why would I cut this? I don't know. This is going to stay here forever. Oh, but people are going to listen to part one and they're like, oh yeah, I'm so excited for part two. And then it just never appears. It's just lost forever.
Well, we're working with live fire in that case. Hopefully not as dangerous as studio fire. What do you say? Want to get into it?
Let us do it.
Sometimes circumstances were just against people. Like we talked about fires. This is interesting. I have a personal experience with lost media. On my father's side, no one knows how old my grandfather was because the courthouse that held his birth certificate burned down. And if I could be candid, when you asked him about his age, his answer would change depending on whether or not he thought a woman in the room was attractive. It's a true story. He wasn't a creep. He was just a weird dude. And so big film companies and studios are fighting fires all the time. There was an unexplained explosion in a film vault in 1920 at the Famous Players and Metro Film Exchange building in Kansas City. This explosion caused a fire that went through the entirety of the 12th floor and then the 11th floor of the Metro. $1 million worth of films were destroyed. Luckily, there were no injuries. None of the employees were injured, but $1 million worth of film was destroyed. And just to drive that impact home, I think it's time for an inflation calculator.
And a boop, boop, beep, boop, beep, beep, boop.
Inflation calculator is the place to be.
And our results are in. $1 million in 1920 is equal to... Max, you got to hit it this time.
Wait, did you want a drum roll? Because I'm giving you one right now.
Oh, well, both.
Oh, yeah. It's $14,840,400. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah. That's a ton of money, right? That's the kind of stuff that'll sink your ship.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And it's not the only fire.
No, it's not. Another fire started in Universal City on May 23rd of 1922 when an electrical snafu essentially caused like a live wire kind of like in the movies flailing around on a film set in the cutting room full of that flammable stuff. It created heat that then caused boxes of film stock to explode, including, you know, like shrapnel, like metal shards flying around. I mean, people really, you know, were in serious danger, not to mention the films. An actor by the name of Priscilla Dean actually was wearing her costume still and desperately was trying to rescue one of her films called Under Two Flags. But then she fell, you know, in this kind of like ensuing melee and got pretty badly injured. I think she had a pretty nasty sprain. Irving Thalberg, who you may have heard of, he's a very successful and there's an award at the Oscars named after him, the Irving J. Thalberg Award for like achievement or something like that. He was then at this point the general manager of the studio, and this other guy named Leo McCary, they tried to put out the fire single-handedly, but they were actually turned away by security. I think, Ben, what's the deal with that? I don't understand how they were turned away.
Well, at this point, it becomes a matter of personal safety, right? They're trying to get into the fire and they're being stopped and being told, look, you can't, it's too late, right? That ship has sailed. That film has burned. And then just a year later, this is how much of a problem this material was, this nitrate and this acetate. Just a year later, there's a fire in Culver City at Goldwyn Studio, which will later be a MGM lot. And this occurs on June 15th, 1923. 20 films that were in the processing lab, plus parts of 7 other films, were destroyed in a fire, and everybody jumped in to help. No one was a diva here. Actors, directors, crew members, prop guys, and fire crews all cooperated together to put out the fire. I picture the old school trope of people handing buckets to each other in a line. Yes. And the guy at the end is like, oh, we need bigger buckets.
Also, to jump in here real quick, the Irving G. Thalberg Memorial Award is like a special award they give out only periodically at the Oscars. The way it's described, at least this is from Wikipedia right here, is for creative producers whose bodies of work reflect a consistently high quality of motion picture production. So it's kind of like a lifetime achievement award, like some people like who have gotten it.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, like tracks. Hitchcock and stuff like that.
100%. So someone like Dean Zanuck or Richard Zanuck, you know, someone was usually given posthumously, I believe, as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, like Spielberg, Lucas, all these. Funny story, according to Wikipedia right here, Katharine Hepburn, the only time she showed up at the Oscars was to give one of these. She had always sent someone to get her off before her. Nice. And I think that was some Max with the facts right there.
Oh, boy, was it faxy as they come. Thank you for that, Max.
Love a sound cue here on Ridiculous History. We also have more fires. Just to list these out quickly, because this is a depressing part of the show. There's a fire at Consolidated Film Industries on October 28th, 1929. This, unfortunately, does result in a fatality because a technician tries to save the film, and he's running out of this exploding, burning building with canisters of film in his arms. 5 other people are injured. They're burned, but they're not, some of them grievously, but they're not killed. And $2 million worth of film is lost. I think there were 50 employees in the night shift. They were able to escape. Later, they would say this machine that polishes developed film caused the fire. And this fire spread to sound stages. These were big deal films, too, at the time. And quickly, the industry started to say, hang on a tick. Are deadly fires becoming a normal, like, cost of doing business now? Do we need to, does the studio need to have its own fire department? What are we going to do? And they were already thinking of this when 1937 hit, July 9th. There's another fire, and this is one of the worst ones yet. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah. It was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's and cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody. Like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one. And that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it. So the Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
It still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire. With the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
That's right. We had a fire specifically, not in L.A. this time. It occurred in Little Ferry, New Jersey, at a 20th Century Fox film storage facility. This is on July 9th of 1937. And once again, I mean, it was kind of one of these set it and forget it things, you know, or the cans would just be, you know, put in there, cataloged. And then, you know, probably the place was operated by a relatively small crew. So there was some neglect and, you know, very specific conditions that led to a fire being ignited. Nitrate film again, much like its, I guess, cousin nitroglycerin, could become unstable and could actually spontaneously combust, you know, when the heat conditions got just so. It was exposed to direct heat. So since these storage vaults were made of concrete and the ventilation was bad, it caused these gases for that were kind of generated coming off of this nitrate film to just catch fire and explode. And then what do you have there? It's like a bunch of matches lined up next to one another. You end up with like a domino effect of mayhem. There was actually a young person that was killed who lived in a neighborhood nearby, and two others were injured from various results of the fire.
Yeah, it's an incredible tragedy. And the cost was more than human lives as well, not to diminish those at all, but just due to this incident, this outbreak, the majority of silent films from the Fox Film Corporation were lost. Right now, 75% of Fox films before 1930 are just gone, literally up in smoke, and it's due to this one event. These fires continued. 1965, there's a fire at the MGM Film Vault. These vaults were made out of concrete. They were separated from each other. They were far from any buildings. They were built in the 1930s, during a time in which studios already were well aware of the danger of this spontaneous combustion and the threat of fires. But still, an electrical spark was all it took. One errant spark caused a fire in film storage vault number 7, and it caused an explosion. It killed someone. These films that were in this vault were all lost. This is stuff like Greta Garbo's The Divine Woman and the film I was thinking about in the beginning, London After Midnight, Lon Chaney. I've looked forever for it. You can see pictures of the guy's costume as the monster. And Lon Chaney, of course, old school special effects genius. But you cannot see this film. And if I am incorrect about that, please find me. Find me on social media. Write to us or something. I want to see the film if you know a way to see it. I think it's like,
come at me. Yeah. Come at me, woke mob. We'll see who cancels who.
I want to see the film.
Oh, and as well you should.
And just jump in one more time. I'll say from like, you know, years working on the show Ephemeral, we've done a number of episodes about like lost movies. And the whole purpose of the show is lost stuff. And we talk to someone about like lost movies. The one they talk about the most is that Fox Fire. Like that's the one they always bring up. Like, yeah, like the Fox Fire, which is just like so much was lost in that thing. It's like, that's like the unfortunate pinnacle of these fires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we see that 12.6 million feet of historical newsreel footage that had been donated by Universal Pictures is destroyed in 1978 on December 7th. And this was a fire at a federal complex at the National Archives and Records Service. So even Uncle Sam is having problems keeping this stuff from sparking. And I know this sounds like a litany of terrifying fire-related catastrophes, because, spoiler alert, it is. And further spoiler alert, these fires keep going. We're actually not going to get too in the weeds. What you need to know is the Fox Film fire was the by far the most disastrous in terms of all the footage and media that was lost. But of course, fires are dangerous to any kind of physical media, not just film.
Yeah, and they're also, this is not entirely a phenomenon that went away like in the 1930s and 40s. Back in 2008, there was a massive fire in the studio backlot of Universal Studios, building 6197, which was Universal Music Group's main West Coast storehouse of masters. And when we think of music, the masters are essentially like the original, you know, multi-track tapes of a very iconic record.
It's either what that the studio or wants to own.
that's what the studio owns. And then, you know, a lot of artists will negotiate for themselves that they own their own masters, but it's incredibly difficult to do. And usually, you know, it's a deal breaker, but they got to go somewhere. So whether it's like, you know, the final kind of mix downs, because if you have the multi-track tapes, that's actually just the original recordings. And then all of that stuff gets filtered through, you know, studio equipment to create, you know, reverbs and whatever it might be and effects and all of that. So in order to actually, you could actually take those and remix them. That's when you get reissued, you'll actually have somebody remixing older records and like remastering them, and they'll put them through maybe more modern equipment or whatever it might be. But this building, which stored all of this stuff, things dating back as far as the 1940s, including digital masters of more recent stuff, burned. And they kept it under wraps for years, like unless you lived there. This happened in 2008, and it didn't really make the news nationally or, you know, in a mainstream way until 2019. And this was literally near what used to be the King Kong encounter, because Universal Studios, where the amusement park is an active studio, and, you know, iconic films have been shot there. But this archive contained things from the likes of Buddy Holly, Duke Ellington, Count Basie, Dizzy Gillespie, Max Roach, Art Blakey, Sun Ra, Albert Ayler, Charles Mingus, and that's like just the jazz stuff. It had, you know, stuff from Neil Diamond, Sonny and Cher, Quincy Jones, Sister Rosetta Tharpe, Ray Charles, R.E.M., Steve Earle, George Strait. So like just Iggy Pop all over the place. So, you know, I think thankfully most of that stuff digitally, you know, what had been, or a lot of the more recent stuff had been digitally backed up elsewhere. But, you know, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it can happen in the, you know, another thing we have to remember is that the cloud as it exists is tremendously clever. But if the right amount of servers go down or encounter some sort of physical danger, then things that are stored digitally can also be lost. So it's a fight that continues, and it's part of the reason why we've decided to make Lost Media a series. Before we end this two-part series, there are a couple of shout-outs that we wanted to do, and a couple I personally need to get off of my chest. This is another call out. If you heard my plea to see London After Midnight and you said, "Ben, you fool, you nutty professor, you, London After Midnight really doesn't exist. I wish I could help you." Well, here's another way you might be able to help me. For years, I've been looking for the director's cut of Event Horizon. This is one of the most legendary recent Lost films. No one knows. Well, the official word is that there is no director's cut around today. But I hope that's untrue, because that movie slaps. The original cut was 130 minutes, so half an hour is missing from it. And
it's very good.
I love it.
I think we've talked about it multiple times. It's a movie where the marketing campaign did not line up with what the actual movie was, and it wrecked my teenage brain. But I'm kind of glad it did, because it honestly pushed me headlong into deeper, weirder, more Lovecraftian horror. But another example of that, Ben, and it's not even a director's cut, it's a film. Actually, there's two films by a very prominent director, Kathryn Bigelow, who is known for her excellent films, including Zero Dark Thirty and what's the other one? The Hurt Locker, which I believe she won an Academy Award for. But some of her early films are kind of more on the schlocky, weirdo sci-fi and horror side. Like there's a movie called Near Dark, starring Bill Paxton, that up until very recently, when it was put out by the Criterion Channel, it was really hard to get a hold of. And I watched it on the Criterion Channel's recent 80s horror collection. They do these great little curated collections. And highly recommend, get the free trial. It's such a great, if you're into film, that is a fun one. You can just browse and you'll find things you've never thought to even look for. And the way they're curated, again, back to the curation, they're in these clever little kind of, you know, collections. And so it'll be like around, you know, women filmmakers working in Iran, like in the 1970s or whatever it might be. I'm kind of spitballing there. But the other one is impossible to find. It's called Strange Days. Do you remember Strange Days, Ben?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a Catherine Bigelow movie starring Ralph Fiennes, I believe, about like a future, dystopian future where you could relive people's, you know, sex encounters and stuff in a VR kind of situation. And then there's a serial killer who's using, you know, who's murdering people and recording their experience of it on these weird little mini disc things. But that is not streaming anywhere. And I can't find a physical copy of it to save my life. And you got to wonder, is this at the behest of the filmmaker who's like, I'm not so stoked on that one anymore? Mm-hmm. Because the filmmaker of her caliber, you'd think would have her whole, you know, oeuvre kind of digitized in some way, shape or form.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah, it was a an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's and cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody, like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one. And that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it. So the Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire. With the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Yeah, even Orson Welles is not immune to this. One thing that's often called the holy grail of lost films is the magnificent Amberson's director cut. This is what he made right after Citizen Kane. The studio didn't like it. They took 40 minutes of footage out and they made up a new ending because that's back when studios would just do that. So they put in a new, happier, more family-friendly ending. Orson himself had nothing to do with it. He wasn't around. He actually hightailed it off to Brazil to work on another film. And then the original version of his film was destroyed by the studio as we record now. this is the one that may have some prints still in existence. So without too much of a pun here, if you hand this to us, if you can be the person who brings us any of these films, then you are ridiculous history royalty. And we eagerly await your correspondence saying one day our prince will come. Get it? I walked up to that pun. Prince and then also yeah. print.
You walked up to that pun and you tapped it right into that hole for a birdie, my man. That's what you did
thanks,
there.
Thanks, bro. And luckily, you know, to your excellent point about the Criterion Collection, when you try that free trial, even if you don't consider yourself a film buff, Criterion may well transform you into one. And it's all for the better. We always have room for one more without sounding too sinister. I guess maybe we can end it here, or we can talk a little bit about just how wackadoo and dangerous nitrate prints are in the modern day, because, you know, this is something we talked about off air a little bit. So we established this stuff is so flammable. If the temperature's wrong, then it will spontaneously combust. But what do you need to watch film? You need a film projector. What does a film projector do?
Hot it has ball, light, baby.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, if you spend any time in L.A., you know, theaters like the Egyptian, or, you know, from the American Cinematographique Society, I think I'm saying that right. It's one of these revival houses that'll like play, you know, original prints, or like Quentin Tarantino's New Beverly Theater. You know, they're in L.A. also will do that. Tarantino has one of the largest collections of original nitrate prints, I think, of any personal private collector in the world, and he donates, or, you know, allows his prints, his personal prints, to be shown in that theater to the public. So if you're in LA, man, good on you. You got access to a lot of amazing, you know, film opportunities to see these original prints. The same in New York, you know, you've got places like the Nighthawk, you know, which is a theater where they'll show, you know, old prints. Like I saw Bad Lieutenant there, the Abel Ferrara movie with Harvey Keitel. And you could tell, man, it looked like I was watching something from the 70s, like in a old weird porn theater or something. Because like it had, you know, the cigarette burns, which are literally the little dots that are used to show the projectionist to switch reels. Because a film, you know, comes in multiple reels and the projectionist has to thread each one of them in. And then that's the cue to like switch a switch and flip it over to the next reel. So, you know, if you have access to that stuff, definitely check it out. But also know, to your point, Ben, that, yeah, if they're using nitrate prints, which I imagine there are some very bespoke, you know, houses that definitely do that, maybe play original ones. I don't know. We know that there were a lot of reproductions. You got to be really careful. You got to keep your eye on the conditions, right?
Oh, yeah. So this stuff is fragile. And, you know, film, if it's not spliced correctly, if it's not smooth when it runs, it can derail. Things can go wrong very quickly. These bulbs are 6,000 watt bulbs. According to Jared Case, the curator of film exhibitions over at the Eastman Museum, you have to treat this stuff not like a regular film, but like a museum artifact. The projectors have to be obsessively maintained and cleaned after and before, right? Every single exhibition, because at this point, it's a matter of safety, not just preserving the material. He mentions how their chief projectionist is so rightly paranoid about this that he makes sure there are no physical rough edges on the film. He double checks every splice and everything as a result takes more time. But they want to see them because there's no mistaking it. The nature of this material means that those originals will degrade. It's kind of their destiny to be seen while they can still be seen.
I think it's a really great, great sentiment, great way to wrap it up, Ben. Would definitely recommend if you're in the Rochester, New York area to check out the George Eastman Museum to see some of their collections there. Lots of incredible examples of the kinds of things we're talking about and history of the photographic arts. Also mentioned the Egyptian, I pronounced it totally wrong, it's the American Cinematheque, not Cinematographique. I did not need to go quite as far with that. But yeah, they actually did a collaboration with Martin Scorsese's Film Foundation and the Hollywood Foreign Press Association and Turner Classic Movies, which allows them to project these nitrate prints that we're talking about, and that required them to retrofit the theater with extra fireproofing material, including like a giant steel fire door to prevent, you know, these things from being, you know, from fire spreading. And also the projectionist there, one of the chief projectionists, a guy named Ben Tucker, is interviewed pretty extensively in a book that we recommend called The Art of Film Projection, A Beginner's Guide. So check that one out too.
And if you can't make it travel-wise to Rochester, why not go to your podcast app of choice and tune into Ephemeral, a show that is all about lots of types of lost media. Max, what's an episode or two that you think would be particularly appealing to folks who enjoyed this series this week?
Well, actually, I got four right off the top of my head. There is many episodes we talk about, but four recently. One of them should be movie theaters. Came out in August, because remember how Noel was talking about the new BAFTA theater, Quentin Tarantino? We have an interview with Jules McClane, who is the director of operations for that theater. Wonderful producer Trevor Young walks through there, does a tour of the place. It's great. Lots of information. But there's also a recurring series we've done called Video Stores, and this kind of brings into context this whole, you know, we've talked about this episode, like the movies being lost, and that's unfortunately not something we've gotten past even now. Mm-hmm. So with stuff moving to streaming, we're kind of up to popularity being what decides whether or not films survive. So like stuff like, I was looking this up, like Netflix has not that many titles. Amazon Prime, I think, is considered like the largest like selection of titles, and it's like 25, 26,000.
Mm. Yeah, which is a pretty small percentage.
Right. When I was up at Movie Madness in Portland, I think they said 90,000, which is massive. Vidiots, which we have an episode about solely, which is reopening, I think, pretty soon in the LA area. They, I think, have 75,000. Here in Atlanta, Videodrome has about 50,000. But also when I was up at Movie Madness, I was talking to the guy and he had the book. He had this like book of like all the remaining video stores. It's not a very big book. And there's some pages X'd out because they're not there anymore. Like,
right.
I forget this. There was one in Athens that went out of business not that long ago. I mean, it's hard to keep these things alive. So if you have a video store in your area, support them, because there's a lot of stuff. I remember when we were doing a tour of Videodrome a number of years ago, we were talking to a guy and he was like, oh, Paul Schrader. I think it was, I'm getting his name right. And that's the first time I've ever heard of Mishima, who we literally just talked about. Mm-hmm. And like all these things, you have all these directors.
Again, it comes back to curation. I mean, Videodrome is a wonderful place. I rent from there as much as I possibly can and end up keeping the movies way too long. And so I, you know, owe tons of late fees, which I'm hoping is keeping them alive single-handedly. I'm joking, but not about the late fees. There's a nice community in Atlanta that really does support that place. But I do worry that the places like that are, you know, I know they're struggling, and I just would really be sad if that place that vanished, because in a city as metro-y and big as Atlanta, it's really only that one. And I think in LA, there's really only like two, or maybe, you know, just a handful.
Yeah, like I think like a place like Vidiots, which is reopening, they were on Santa Monica for a very long time and they closed down. They never got closed down permanently. They closed down to kind of figure things out and put all their stuff in an archive, and they're reopening as like a museum theater hybrid. I can't tell you exactly what they're doing off the top of my head, but it's really hard for these places. And I mean, support them, and also, you know, push for more arts funding. It's not easy for these places to get nonprofit standards. So if you can help push for stuff like that, I would suggest that, because keeping this stuff, this is art. And I think it's important as a culture for art to stay alive.
So support your local video store and support your local podcasters. Not for nothing do we shout out Ephemeral. As we know, we listen to a lot of shows and we don't say this kind of stuff about all of them. So thank you to super producer Mr. Max Williams for both this show and for Ephemeral. Thanks to Alex Williams, who composed this track. Thanks to our research associate, Dr. Zach. And thanks to that Cadillac in the background, since I'm accidentally freestyling.
Dr. Zach and that Cadillac in the back. We'll see you next time, folks. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Avalon Waterways. Ben, are you in major need of a vacation right now?
Noel, you're a mind reader. I am, and aren't we all?
We are. While cruising remains popular, there's something big happening in the industry, and that is, my friend, smaller ships.
True story. The intimate ships of Avalon Waterways can go where the big ships can only dream, through winding passageways of rolling vineyards and castled hills into the heart of timeless cities and storybook villages.
That sounds like a delight. See how Avalon's smaller ships promise greater discoveries, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at avalonwaterways.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.